Okay, so yeah, we're holding on page I number base, the fourth line from the end of the narrow line, long on Robert begin. So we said that we have two people to talk about this Indian about that a worker has to be able to eat on the job. He saw the Kerem Recha and he saw the Komas Recha. We said in the end, Komas of wheat and Kerem is vineyard. So we said in the end, there's a number of dinim involved in it. In particular, we said, we started the general dinim that only applies b'shas b'mai malacha and only applies when you're a worker. So we said that that kind of thing in the end, we said that you can learn actually all from the second pasuk, the one about wheat. The fact that the pasuk begins with the one about grapes, that pasuk is meant to teach us some of the more detailed dinim of this mitzvah. So the time, as we learn about Baisa, Tisavai, the pasuk starts off by saying, when you come, Nem can be of Nem lahal by Savai of Hashem. Here it says, when you come, and there's different pasuk also in Parashas Kitete that says the sun should not come down on him without paying him in time. So just like there, it's talking about a worker, so here it's talking about a worker. So that's another way of knowing, besides what we discussed yesterday about on Friday night, besides what we talked about, the idea that the Al-Kel Yechol Lositin, that such time when you're putting it into the Balabas's Kalim, or cutting it using the Balabas's Sickle, aside from that, we have the Beir Shavah Kisavah to also teach us, to teach us instead that it's talking about a poil. Then it continues, the Kerem Re'echa, the Pasuk continues, you come into your neighbor's vineyard, meaning below the Kerem Kursi, now if you come into a Goy's vineyard. Now, what does that mean now if you come into a Goy's vineyard? Rashi explains that's talking about when the Pasuk is Mamayas, at the end of that says, Al-Kel Yechol Lositin, you're not allowed to put them into your containers to take home, that is only talking about a Yid's vineyard. According to Rashi, what it means is, if you're working in a Goy's vineyard, not only are you allowed to eat on the job, but you're even allowed to take some home. There's no issue of gezel. Many other Rishonim learn, and this is the other way around, and this is how the halacha is asking, that on the contrary, it means if you're working in a goy's vineyard or field or whatever, you're not allowed to work on the job unless you get rishus from him. This, that the Torah gives you automatic rishus to eat, is only when you're working by a yid.
As a closer.
Yeah. So the Gemara asks, Tamichel Mandom of Gezer Kursiya. So, okay, I can understand according to the Deya, we learned in Baba Kama, that stealing from a goy is also midaraisa. It's just called the mishra poil. And therefore, okay, we can understand the pasuk needs to give us a special heter that, in this case, however you are mutter. Elamam dama gezel kosi mutter. But according to the opinion there, that midaraisa you are allowed to gezel kosi is allowed over there. You have to ask hashem zela mutter poil mivoya. Look, mivoya. If even gezel would be mutter, how much more so that a worker should be able to eat on the job? What do you need a special limud in the pasuk to tell you that? The answer is Mukimma the Kerem Re'echa v'Loishal Hekdesh. That Deya would say, okay, you're right, in that case, Re'echa comes to exclude something else. It's true. According to that Deya, you would be allowed to take from a Goy's vineyard and maybe and even Belkel Yechol Lositin, like Rashi says. Yeah. What it means is, Re'echa means not if you're working in a vineyard or what have you, of Hekdesh. That you're not allowed to eat it. Hekdesh is not Re'echa, and therefore you're not allowed to. Choice is actually the question, you would think. I mean, of course you can't. Of course you can't take from Hekdesh. You'd be committing Me'ilah. So Choice says, okay, maybe that's the point. In other words, you would think that maybe the Torah is making an exception to the dinim of Me'ilah over here.
Because it's a hard worker.
Yeah. But we're saying that now. Continuing doushing in the pasuk. The pasuk says you're allowed to eat. Meaning you're not allowed to suck them out. Can't take the grapes and just suck out the juice and throw away the rest of the grape, because then you're going to eat or suck out a lot more grapes than you otherwise would. Like this, you can't eat the actual grape. There's only a few that you'll eat before you feel full. If you start sucking them out, when it says you can eat grapes, it means you can't eat grapes with something else. It actually gives an example. Let's say you would dip them in salt in order to increase your appetite, so you'll want to eat more. You can't do that. You have to adapt to eat them by yourself. Later on, on Pétes, and then we're going to talk about the details of what exactly Dover Acher includes, what exactly you are and aren't allowed to do with these grapes or what have you.
And salt would belong to...
You bring your own salt. You bring your own salt, let's say. I guess in modern terms, it would probably be different than sugar, but whatever, okay, yeah. when I was learning Hilchos Melucha back in the day, they mentioned that some of the poskim achronim talk about the question: are you allowed to use sugar instead of salt for Melucha? The answer is no, but yeah. Okay, so yeah, we're holding on Pei Zayin Beis, the 5 lines from the bottom. Okay, 4 lines actually. Okay, so we're darshaning the pasuk over here. We're dealing with the drasha of the pasuk Yisav of the Kerem Echa to teach us the individual detailed dinim of this business about a person eating on the job. So kenapshecha, the next of the pasuk continues that you can eat grapes kenapshecha as you wish. Meaning kenapshecha means kenefesh shabalabai kenapshecha file. Meaning the worker kenapshecha means literally as if they're yours. So therefore, the worker has to be on an equal level with the balabas in a certain sense. Manapshecha oichol or potter, just like if you yourself were to eat from these grapes at this point, you would be potter because we haven't yet completed the processing of them to the point when they're chayev in maaser. Grapes usually are pressed into wine. Wine only becomes chayev in maaser once the grapes have been pressed and the juice has run down into the pit where it'll start fermenting to become wine. So at that point, you yourself would be able to eat and potter from maaser. Manapshecha oichol potter. The same way, the worker also has to be able to eat and be potter. Which the point is, Rashi says, there's a number of things that are kevei lemaisa. We're going to start talking about them in the following gemaras. There's a number of things where you have something where you have food which is on its way to being completed, but there's certain things that if they happen, they make that already at that point that food is chayev lemaisa. One of them is if you buy it. One of the mekach is one of the 6 things. So you would think then this worker should be considered like he bought these grapes that don't actually belong to him. Therefore, they ought to be chayev and meister right away. That's the chiddush of the pasuk. That nafshecha. Next, the pasuk
is the worker is like he bought it.
You would think it's like he bought it, right? It's not his.
Nobody's like the owner.
But nevertheless, since the pasuk is telling us kenapshecha that he has to be on the same level as the owner, then no, we say in that case that's an exception. We don't consider him like he bought it. We consider it as though it's his to begin with, and therefore he's potter from maaser until it's actually yerid labor, until that wine actually goes into the pit. Then the pasuk continues sav echa that you can eat your fill, meaning the la'achil agachi. You can't overeat. You can't stuff yourself with everything. Now kalichol esitin, and the pasuk finishes off that you cannot put it in your own containers, implying the shalshat the nois and kelim shavalabayis atarichol. Only when you're putting it into the balabas's kelim, meaning gmar malacha, only then are you allowed to eat. Or shalshat you have the nois and the kelim shavalabayis. You have to eat, but at a time when you're not putting it into the balabas's kelim. For example, if you're watching them at an earlier stage of their growth, let's say you're watching the vineyard to make sure nobody breaks in or whatever, then you're not allowed. Then you're not entitled to eat.
Now, if you just ask what's done, then you have rice.
Remember, what
do you take Caleb this way?
But that's the thing. For example, harvesting the grapes itself is not yet Gemar Malacha as far as Mike. It's not. It's before the stage of Gemar Malacha. Gemar Malacha would only be once you take those grapes and bring them to the press where you're going to press them, and then the wine starts flowing down.
First it goes into Caleb,
and then you take those
Caleb
over.
If they were eating grapes, then maybe it was Gemar Malacha.
Yeah, indeed.
I guess it'll take them off the tree, that's why you probably not eat it then.
Right.
Once it goes into...
Okay. So now we're going to start talking about some of the dinim of when something becomes chayiv and maaser, and that's going to bear on our discussion over here. Amar Rav Yana, Eina tevel mischayiv and maaser ad sheyira pnei abayis. Tevel does not become chayiv and maaser until it sees the face of the house, meaning Rashi says it comes in through the front door. So the Gemara, for example, was Gemara in Brachos that mentioned that at some point people started playing a trick with this to use the loophole. You can bring in the grain or whatever through your roof or through your backyard or whatever, and then it never becomes chayiv and maaser. But the problem with that is that it was all very good. Fine, they were able to eat from it without being chayiv and maaser. At least they were able to eat a snack from it without being chayiv and maaser. However, it took away a certain bracha from the fruit. They ended up being not so juicy and tasty and nutritious anymore. So, yeah, and then you don't play games. Yeah, anyway. So it doesn't doesn't become chayiv in ma'isa ad sheyira pnei abayis. Shenema, as the pasuk says, bi'arti ha-kodesh min abayis. The pasuk says, by bidui ma'isa, the person has to say, I removed the kodesh from the house. What's the point of mentioning from the house? That it only became chayiv in ma'isa when I brought it into the house. And since then, I've made sure to take off the proper ma'isa. Rabbi Yechanan, I'm after the chotzer. Rabbi Yechanan says that even if it comes into a chotzer, it's also that's enough to be kedayah. The pasuk says, you give the mice to the Levi, and they should eat in your gates. So usually we translate in your gates throughout Tanakh, throughout Chumash, we usually translate it. And no, usually fakir, usually your gate means the city outside Yerushalayim, but usually it means the city. It's like inside the city gate, it's where the Sanhedrin, it's where the local base is sat, etc. But here we're dashing it, shorach, I mean your own front gate of your chotzer. So as soon as it comes into that front gate, already it's chayiv in ma'aser. So like in principle, the Levi could be sitting there right inside his gate and eating the ma'aser. Tosfos points out, by the way, Rabbi Yannai does agree that when it comes into the chotzer, that it is chayiv in ma'aser. But he might say that's only midrabon. He might say that's only midrabon. Rabbi Yechon is telling us that's actually midaraita. So the question is, Rabbi Yechon nami haksid min abayis. What does Rabbi Yechon do with Rabbi Yana is pasuk min abayis? Amalach chotzer b'mid abayis. He will tell you the reason for that is to tell us what kind of chotzer we're talking about. You have to clarify what kind of sharim are we talking about? Ma abayis hamishtamer. Just as a house is something where you put something in it, it'll be safe. A chotzer hamishtamer. So also a chotzer has to be an enclosed chotzer. It can't be one that's open. If it is, then it's takanat. As far as ma'aser, Rabbi Yana nami oksid bisharacha, and what is Rabbi Yana going to do with the bisharacha? He will say that's teaching you that even to be keveya, even if you bring it into the house, it's not nikva, only if you bring it in through the shah of the chotzer. We just said, if you bring it in, for example, through a hatch in the roof or through the backyard or whatever, then it's never nikva for ma'aser. Then you need one of the other things to be keveyet for ma'aser, one of the other five things to be keveyet for ma'aser. So therefore, the bisharecha teaches you have to bring it in through the shah. However, even you bring it in through the shah and you're walking through the chaser, it's not yet chayiv and ma'aser according to Rabbi Yana until you actually bring it into the house. Masav Rachanina Chazna. So Rav Chanina Chazar asked, based on the braisa that we just quoted, we just said that when the pasuk tells us that you can eat on the job, kenashacha means that you and the worker have to be on an equal level. We said that teaches us that you should know the poyol is not considered a buyer. It's not yet nikva for meiser at that point. But the implication is that at that point, if it was an actual lekeach, if he had actually bought it, he would be chayev. My lad basada. Now, the chora, aren't we talking about even if this takes place in the field, out in the field, before you brought it into the chaser, even if you sold it to somebody, let's say, in the field, and in that case, the nekach and gemar malacha should be on an equal level, and in that case, it should be chayev and nicer. So we see, once it was gemar malacha already, once it was already completed processing, however it is, let's say, for example, like you were saying, eating grapes, so there's nothing further to be done after they're picked, then already they should be chayev and ma'aser if you sold them to somebody without ever coming into the house or without ever coming into the chaser.
So Monday, since we're mentioning the buying, it's
No, because what we could be talking about over here, for example, is suppose you have a fig tree. Tosfos points out doesn't have to be figs. This is figs were very common in those days. Ha'imedes beginner, which is standing in your garden outside your chotzer. We're talking about a fig tree which stands in the garden, but it leans over. The branches hang over into the chotzer. As soon as you pick the fruit, it's already ready up in the chotzer. So according to Rav Yana, we're good. It's already in the chotzer. There are some of the Mepharshim explain that in order, since we said before that according to him, that you come in through the shire, then fine, it would have to be that the branches are actually sticking in through the shire, not just over the wall of the chotzer, but
sticking into the house.
Yeah, no, not into the house. It's the shire of the chotzer. of the chaser. It's not that.
It could be either chaser, but if it's
chaser, it's made of a charo. According to Rabbi Yochanan, we have to figure out. We have to figure out why this works. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, it works very nicely. If the actual branch sticks in through the shar, then good. As soon as you pick a fruit, it's already in the shar.
Shar meaning
inside the gate of the chaser.
It's a big garden.
Yeah. Well, not a garden. We said it's growing in the garden. That's outside the chutzah. It sticks into the chutzah, which is the front yard.
It's the field that's around the gate.
Yeah, well, a chutzah, a front yard. That's what we're talking about.
The chutzah is here, and the tree is growing here, and it's going through the gate. And then your house is here, and you go into your chutzah. And then
it's
your
backyard, I guess.
Your front yard.
Their front yard was a chutzah.
Yeah.
The backyard was
called the kaifer. That's what we just said.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Those are the field from there, the grounds.
Now Tosfos points out you could have said a much more straightforward thing. You could be talking about, let's say, that the worker picked the fruit while he was in the garden, then he walks into the chutzah still eating the fruit, and maybe at that point he becomes chayav and meiser. The answer is that Tosfos says that no, we're gonna learn as we go through this din that the worker is only allowed to eat while he's actually working. The Chachamim made a takana, mitnei hoshev aveda, because you don't want him to waste time from working. They allowed him, let's say, while he's walking from one row to another, to eat then. But mi'ikra din, minatora, it's supposed to be he only eats when he's actually working. So then he won't be walking into the chutzah. He would be dealing on a deraita level.
But if he's walking to bring it in, he's schlepping stuff, he's working.
But schlepping stuff is ready after Gemara Malacha. Then, yeah.
Then it's
chayv
anyhow.
Then, either it's chayv anyhow, or he doesn't have the heter to eat at that point. Anyway. Okay, fine. Well, the mandu amal abayis for bias, or according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that the fruit has to come into the bias to be chayav. Okay, it would mean that the branches stick into the house. Okay, the question is yochi bala bayis nami nechayav. Okay, according to that logic, then as soon as you pick the fruit, you're inside the chutz or inside the house, as the case may be. You're already roya pnei bayis. Why aren't you chayav and bayis? Why are you the bala bayis not chayav and bayis? Why are we only saying the person who bought it is chayav and bayis? The answer is balabas ain't a b'tei nase. The difference is the balabas focuses on the actual growth of the tree. The tree stands in the gina, in the garden, outside the chutz or outside the house. Therefore, to him, it's not gemar malacha as long as because the tree itself stands outside. Fine, you picked it off the tree and it came in, it was in the chutz or in the house or whatever. From his point of view, it's not gemar malacha yet. V'lekech ain't a b'mechay, whereas the buyer focuses on what he bought. He's not focusing on the tree as a whole. He's focusing on the fruit which he bought. The fruit is inside the chutz or inside the house. So that would be the difference. But we don't necessarily mean that in a general case where a worker is working out in the field that you should need any kind of special heter to say that he's not chayav in ma'aser yet, because anyway, he's chayav in ma'aser because it wasn't roya pnei bayis, it's roya pnei chutz. The question is now, so are you telling me that when somebody buys then you're chayav midaraisa? Because what are we saying over here? We said that we need a special limud in the pasuk. This is a limud from Kanashika to teach us that you would think that this worker should be chayav and meister because as if he bought it. Come to tell you, it's Kanashika that tells you that he's pasuk. This whole concept that when you buy food, you're chayav, that you become chayav and meister. Is that even midaraisa? L'chora, that's only midrabana. So in that case, you don't need a limud in the pasuk to tell us otherwise.
Right, you're eating the chayav when it comes to the front door.
Yeah. V'hatanya, don't we learn in a b'raisim? Why were the stores of Beis Hinu, the name of a place, destroyed 3 years before Yerushalayim? This is at the time of the second Korban. Yerushalayim was destroyed at the time of the Korban. Beis Hinu is some nearby town or whatever. Its stores were destroyed 3 years before that. Why? Because they stuck to the actual words of the Torah. In other words, you have something which midrabanan is aser, but they said we don't care about the din midrabanan. We're sticking with the din d'oraisa.
They were
from Jews, Mashdos. They were Persian, but still they felt this takana of the Chacham is not particularly important. Shoyu Omin, they used to say when the pasuk says aser to aser v'achalter, it says you should take ma'aser and you eat, implying v'loy moicher. Implying only you who grew the fruit only you who are actually going to eat it have to take off the ma'aser v'loy moicher, not the one who's selling it. And t'boras darecha, when the pasuk continues the produce of your field, v'loy lekeach, implying but not if you bought it. So therefore, so we see the whole thing is only Din Rabbanan. What are you telling me that Knaf Shachas, that he has to tell us that you don't apply Din Rabbanan in this case? That's not how Pesukim work. Elam Din Rabbanan across Masavam. You're right. This concept that once you buy it, you become chayev and meiser, that it becomes nikva for meiser, and the keyach is in fact chayev, take meiser from it, it's tackled in the drabbanon. The word kenaf shachal that we said before is only in asmasta.
Therefore?
Well, ela kenaf shachal amaya. So what do you tackle use the word? What's the actual lingua that you learn from the word kenaf shachal then? Look at the tanya. We use it for as follows. Now, I mentioned when we started the Mishnah that the There's two different dinim that the Torah tells us as far as workers. One is as far as human workers, one is as far as animal workers. The human workers is what we've been discussing so far, that you have to allow them to eat on the job, etc. Then you have a din when it comes to animals that are working for you, you're not allowed to muzzle an ox while threshing or doing any other kind of work with the grain. So now, the question is, do those dinim apply to each other? Do we apply dinim from one to the other? So that's the first thing we're going to be discussing over here. So the pasuk says kinafshecha. The pasuk says that the worker has to be just like you, implying man nafshecha in pasamta poter, just like with the worker, just like with yourself. If you were to put a muzzle on yourself, but not literally, not necessarily an actual physical muzzle, you decide for yourself. I'm holding myself back. I'm not eating from any of this stuff. And you do that, you're poter. There's no issue of lo sachtem on yourself. The issue is lo sachtem sure the disha is on an animal, not on yourself. The same way, if you do that to the worker, again, whether with an actual muzzle or whether by telling him not to, you will be potter. You do have a mitzvah. You do have a mitzvah chasei to allow him to eat on the job. But if you were over on that, there's no specific punishment for it. We're not going to give you malchus because that's lo sachtem sure the disha. That's a lo sachtem, which is talking about animals, not about people. So you were over on it, you were mevakel a mitzvah eser, but you weren't over on a lois eser.
So there's nothing that Torah indicates that he that works in his field and gets a lot of eat while working.
No, that's also a thing. Kisav of a kerem re'echa, kisav of a kamatzah. You have a mitzvah to allow him to eat, but it's a mitzvah that say, if you don't do it, it's like not putting on tefillin. You don't put on tefillin, you haven't been over on a mitzvah lois eser, you mevakel on eser.
Do you get malchus?
No, you don't get malchus. I mean, the Alter Rebbe talks about at the beginning of the Yigeres HaTshuva that it depends. I mean, a mitzvah loisah there has, you know, if you violate a mitzvah loisah, you're going to get malchus, or you're going to get ketch, whereas with a mitzvah saseh, you won't. On the other hand, being mevakel, a mitzvah saseh means to own neder. It means you're preventing a certain from coming down. A loisah say you violated a loisah afterwards, you do tshuva, and you're nimchal for it. But a mitzvah saseh, you missed it, that's it. There's no making it up afterwards.
Sometimes you get matzah.
Yeah. For example, a person says, "I'm not going to eat matzah." Then yeah, they give matzah ma'adrus. Yeah. I don't know. Apparently, this isn't one of those cases. Maybe if a guy makes a habitual habit of it, I don't know. There is, by the way, there is machlok to showing him. Are we going to make him pay the workers afterwards for that, for the amount that they should have been able to eat, and he prevented them. But anyway, the point is that we're saying based on the kanachacha, we're learning at least that there's no chiyuv malchus involved. There's no loisase involved. We don't take the loisase and show the disha and apply it to over here.
But if you would pay him, then it'd be as similar as eating lauki.
Well, I mean, so we're gonna learn later on in the parrot, for example, that let's say for example you hire a worker and along with him come his little kids who are also working with him. You can make a deal with him, for example, to say you don't eat on the job and instead I'll pay you extra. You can't do that with his kids because his kids don't have the ability to be vocal on that. So you have to allow them to eat regardless. But our Gemara is saying over here, if you did prevent them, you were over on the mitzvah saseh. However, there's no malchus. Okay.
Bring them along as work
as workers. Actual workers. Yeah.
They didn't have child labor.
They didn't. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Most of Mazutra. Okay. Mazutra asks on this. This whole business that we're talking about over here, again, about bias and chaser, that I have to come into the chaser in order to be chayav. We learn in a Mishnah in Maestris, Ezeu Godin and Maestris, what is considered the Godin, what is considered the Gemar Malacha for various kinds of produce. Again, the point is, up until that point, forget about workers. You yourself, the Baal HaBos, would be allowed to eat a snack from it, would be allowed to eat a Chilas Arai. Once Gemar Malacha happens, then you become also to eat from it until you take off Terumah and Maestris. What is that Godin? What is that Gemar Malacha? The Kishurim Bedloy Mishi Faksu. So it gives a whole list. The first ones on the list are when it comes to cucumbers or melons, Mishi Faksu. And what is Mishibah? Once the pikas from them is taken off. Rashi says the pikas is the flower that's at the top of them. These fruits are basically, these fruits, cucumbers and melons, are basically the, I mean, they're vegetables to us, so these cucumbers are, but botanically they're a fruit. They grow from the flower of the fruit. So you have at the end, when they finish growing, there's a little flower at the top of them by the end of the stem over there. You take that.
Cucumber and a what?
A cucumber or a melon.
Cucumber and melon are very similar.
Yeah, in that sense, yeah. So those kinds of things then, so you have this little flower that grows over there, which is left over from the flower the fruit actually developed from. Afterwards, after you pick the fruit, that flower starts drying up, eventually it falls off. So once that pickus is taken off, then it becomes chayiv and maaser. Yeah, there's a different explanation. Some of the Rabbi Hananel and some of the other Rishonim have that these fruits have kind of like a hair on the, they have like hairs on the outside of them when they're first picked. You take off that, or you rub off or whatever, you pick off that hair or hold off on its own, that's the shifaksu. Okay, whatever it is. My love, mishifaksu after the basada. The quarter this is talking about, even if you do it out in the field and already. Say what? Vomer Basi, Mishina to Pikas for the hand. Rabbi says, once you take off the Pikas, that's Mishifaksu. So, my love, Mishifaksu, after the Basavil. What that means, even if you do it out in the field, already it's Chayav and Maaser. See, you don't need the Chasu, you don't need the house, you don't need nothing, already at that point. The answer is no, Mishifaksu, Rabbi. No, we're talking about that. First, you brought it into the house. So, first, you brought it into the house with the Pikas, with the flower still on top of it. Afterwards, at home, inside the house, you started taking it off. Okay, so it could be that you did it that way. It's the same principle as, for example, that Gemara in Brachas mentioned that we talked about before, that the Gadgets and Carpapers, the Gemara mentions, for example, a similar kind of thing. You're allowed to bring in your tour, you're allowed to bring in your grain into the house, still with the straw and whatever mixed in, because then it's not Mamalacha yet. It came into the house, it was really there by it, but it hasn't Mamalacha yet. And then at that point, you'll still be able to give some of it to your animals to eat, etc., and then you'll finish the processing of it at home. So it could be. Okay, the problem is, Ihochi Mishi Faksu, then what do you mean they become Chayav as soon as Shifaksu? Ad Shifaksu, it should say until Shifaksu, meaning even though you brought it into the house, still not Chayav and Maaser yet, until you take off the flowers. The answer is, Itona Ad Shifaksu, Havamin Ad Degomel, if you desire. Yes, but if it's said it that way, you would think it means that you have to finish taking off the flowers from all of them. As soon as you start taking the flowers off some of them, then already all of them become chayav and maaser.
Oh,
no, you brought in a whole wagon load, let's say. You brought in a whole wheelbarrow load. As soon as you start taking off any of them, then all of them are considered nikva and they're all chayav and maaser. It's ma'am alacha for all of them and they all become chayav and maaser.
It doesn't work on each one separately, but it works.
Right. Okay.
It must have to do with your intention and not with your fruit.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Mishnah lists over there, there's a couple of Mishnahs over there near the beginning of the Galat and Meisters that list for various kinds of fruits and vegetables what the point is when you reach the point that it is Chayav and Maaser. Yeah, it all depends what you plan. A lot of it depends what you plan to do with them. Exactly like we were talking before about grapes, whether you're going to eat them or whether you're going to press them into wine. Same way we're going to talk about later, for example, or we'll talk about later, probably tonight, Bez Hashem, about. For example, with grain, there's a difference between whether you're going to be eating it, whether you're going to be, for example, using it to make toasted grain, which is a snack that they had in those days, or whether you're going to be grinding it in the flour, where there you have a later thing, it becomes chayav and challah eventually.
Challah
is a separate thing, but we're going to look in connection with the din of our Mishnah, in connection with the din of our Mishnah that was saying that the workers are allowed to eat on the job, so the Rambam and most Rishonim learn, based on that Gemara later, that if you're talking about something which is later on going to be chayav and challah, they're allowed to eat up until that point. So, for example, with grain, even Gemar Malacha, it's already chayav and maaser, but it's not yet chayav and challah because you haven't ground in the flour and mixed it with water, and the workers are still allowed to eat from it. Whereas if the same grain, if the plan was to toast it, for example, then you would be then the usual rules would apply. As soon as you made a stack out of it and then the miruah, then already the workers are also cheating. Because then it's chayav and maaser. Yeah. Okay.
If you're dividing half and half, because you have a lot of it today.
Then maybe you go home to the roof. I don't know.
I was part of you
that you're going to have in mind. Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Another one, Masiv Masitra. What is considered the Gurdon? What is considered the when you gather it all together into the granary, where it becomes now chayav in Meiser and you're chayav of it as tevel, that if you were eat it you'd be chayav misa. Mishitikom malacha, and that is when the malacha is finished. There is a gma malacha, malacha sachnasasa. What is the gma malacha? Is bringing it in. That means bringing it in. The word hachnasa, the shodesh, can mean two different things. It can mean gathering, and it can mean bringing in. So we assume over here that hachnasa means afilu basada, just means gathering it together, like making a pile out of it, right? And then we would see it's chayv and mice, even though it was not yet in the chotzer or the house. The answer is No, what the Braise is telling us is that bringing it into the house or the chotzer, according to Rabbi Yechanan, is the gmar malacha. We don't mean hachnasas and gathering it into a pile. We mean hachnasas and bringing it in. The ibayseima, or another possibility, we can go back to the whole beginning of the discussion when we said that Rabbi Yanai is saying you need the house and Rabbi Yechanan is saying you need the chotzer. What are they talking about? Kikom Rabbi Yanai b'zeisim v'anovim v'lab negurim. He is only talking about things like grapes and olives, which are already ready to eat as they are. So, and now those things are chayav and ma'isim in Torah. Therefore, at what point when they come into the house? Because there is no other gurdon for them. If you're planning to eat these grapes, if you're planning to eat these olives, that's it. There is no gurdon afterwards, because as soon as they're picked, they're ready to eat. Mashenkin, for example, grain, where it needs to be processed, it needs to be threshed, and so on and so forth. Then you don't need to bring them into the house. That's the Gemara continues. But when it comes to, for example, wheat or barley, then it explicitly the Torah tells us that they need to be in a garden. They need to be in a granary in order to be chayav and ma'aser. So then you don't need
different property.
Then you don't need exactly. Then you don't need Rias Pnei Abayis.
Not finished yet.
Right. Well, no. In other words, once it is finished, once it's been made into a garden, meaning it's been made into a pile, then it's already chayav in Maisu, even before it's been brought into the house or the chotzer or whatever. So we're not saying, in other words, that you need both. We're saying you need one or the other. In the case of Zeis and Manavim, there is no other particular garden, therefore you need to bring them into the house. Whereas wheat or whatever you need, whereas wheat or whatever once you make a gurdon out of it, so that's the thing then. For example, Rashi points out this that we mentioned before. This that we mentioned before. We want to mention in a couple of places that you're able to bring in your grain into the house even before Gmar Malacha and eat a snack from it. That would be different. That would disagree with this answer of the Gemara over here. Our Gemara would be assuming that as soon as you bring it into the house, it's chayav and ma'aser even before Gmar Malacha. That Gemara would be saying that you still need both. You need Gmar Malacha and to bring it into the house.
You can't say one that Gemara goes according to one that you make a flour from it. The other one goes that you plan to use it as toasting.
No, because first of all, even then you need toasting. You still don't eat grain raw.
Oh, so as a snack.
You wouldn't eat raw grain in a snack, no. Maybe like one or two. You wouldn't.
Okay, that's not when it was very, very ripe.
When it was very fresh, yeah. Fresh, yeah. Maybe, yeah. But ordinarily, no. But anyway, Rashi refers, for example, to a Gemara that tells about a chaver who passes away and leaves an entire grain bin full of grain that we can assume that Meiser was already taken from it. Because a chaver doesn't leave anything, doesn't leave any motzim mitachas yado davasheni masoka. If he wouldn't have a whole bin of grain that's only going to be used for toasting,
right?
Yeah, or for chewing on like that. The pashtus, a whole bin of grain is going to be used for grinding into flour. So according to that Gemara over there, it comes out you need both. You need it to be gmar malacha and then it's brought into the house. According to our Gemara, it's one or the other. Now that we've figured out what the deal is as far as when something becomes chayav and ma'aser. Now let's go back to something else. We started by saying with the beginning of the Gemara, we brought the limud from the pasuk that says that a person is able to eat from the stuff when it's mechuber, when he's actually harvesting it. Chemish leisonif, you should not raise up a sickle against the other guy's grain, implying that you're talking about a time when you're harvesting it on behalf of the Baal Bas. You can't harvest for yourself. You can only pick it with your hands and eat it. Same thing.
But you can't use sickle when you use the sickle for the Baal Bas.
At the same time cutting some for yourself. See, for yourself has to be the katakta melulas. You pick it with your hands, so that way you won't take too much. The same thing with the grapes. Now, kalei kolaisita, you can't put it into your own kalim, but we're talking about when you're putting it into the Baal Bas's kalim. So we're talking about mechuber. From all of that, we know that you're able to eat from it when it's mechuber, the karka. When it's attached to the ground and you're detaching it right now, you're able to eat
it. We're not speaking about when he's going to put his own kale, which should not allow it. So when he's eating it,
to eat it for himself, yeah.
Yes, pull my hands.
Yeah. So far we see that. So Ashkechon Adam Mechuber, Sherba Tolosh, we also find when the Torah says Lesachim Sherba Dishoy, Dayish is something where the grain has already long since been harvested. Now you're threshing it. You're having the animal step on it and then thresh it and whatever. So we see from that a person is allowed to eat from it when it's Mechuber. An animal is allowed to eat from it when it's Tolosh. Adam Betolosh Menolot. How do we know? Now our Mishnah had told us that there can also be a case where you're allowed to eat Betolosh, where you're allowed to after it was harvested, but before Gemar Malacha, where you're able to eat from it. Anything. No, once we said already. Once we say grapes, then we said already. Kama comes to teach us everything. L'rabbis Kobale Kama comes to include everything that grows. But you have, for example, we learned that there can be a case where you're working with something that has already been harvested from the ground. Let's say, for example, grapes. Let's say grapes that are going to be pressed into wine. So the Gemara Melacha, we said, is not till the wine is actually running down to the pit. Therefore, not only are you allowed to, if you're hired to harvest the grapes, you're allowed to eat them while you're harvesting. And also, for example, if you're later on hired to carry the grapes to the vat, for example, for pressing, you're allowed to eat from them on the way also. Because not Gemara Melacha yet. But how do we know that? The Torah never tells us that explicitly. It only tells us a shur is able to eat from a chobur. So how do we know a person is a betolosh? I mean, so how do we know an animal, a person is allowed to eat betolosh? So like, kavachoyma mishur. We'll make a kavachoyma based on a shur. Uma shur she'enim oichel b'mechubur to betolosh. Ma decha shur, which is not allowed to eat from a chobur, because you don't find anything. The pasuk only says b'dishoy, only when the animal is threshing, which is tolosh, and yet it's able to eat from a chobur. Adam she'oichel b'mechubur, and it's in she'oichel b'tolosh. So a person is able to eat the mechuber, how much more so they should be able to eat betolosh. Now, later on, we're going to say that actually this is not really, this kavachomer, I mean, we're going to try to slug up this kavachomer anyway. But the premise of the kavachomer
is threshing. What is threshing?
Okay, so after wheat has been harvested, wheat grows inside several, wheat or barley or whatever, grows inside several layers of shells and straw and whatnot. You have to break those open. You take the grain, you spread it out on the floor, you take animals, you have them, each one of them pulls a sledge behind it, which is a flat board with little pieces of stone or metal or whatever embedded into it, like teeth. The animals walk around, their hooves do some of the work, but also the sledge itself, sometimes you stand on it to give some extra weight or whatever, and you go round and round, as you go, it breaks open, it cracks open these shells, so now you have, and after that, you have now a pile of grain mixed with the shells, and the next thing you do, the next melacha you do is to winnow it, we throw it up into the air and blow on it, and then the wind carries the shells away.
These grains don't break a lot?
Not too much, no. Okay. Just the shells, right.
And then you throw it in the air, which is another Malachan shot.
Right, indeed. Yeah. So, now, the point is, at the end, later on in the discussion, we're going to learn that actually, as a matter of fact, the shur is allowed to eat the mechuber. But right now, we don't know that yet. Right now, what we know is the pasuk tells us, let's some shur b'disha, that they can only eat betolosh. So that's what we're using as the basis for the kavachayim. Okay, the Gemara says, "Smala shur shekein at the mitzvah asati masay." How can you prove that? Sure, we have a mitzvah that you're not allowed to muzzle it. Tamei b'adam sheyat the mitzvah asati masay. How can you prove to a person where we just said before, earlier on the Amud, you are allowed to muzzle them? And not you're allowed to, but you're not going to be over on a lab. You do. Okay, the Gemara asks right back. Fine, the held the mitzvah asati masay with kavachayim mishur. Fine. Then in that case, yes, I can use that kavachayim to say you are chayev if you muzzle a person and prevent him from eating. Do you like this? Masher shat mitzuva lach yose at mitzuva afatima. Umasher shi at mitzuva lach yose at mitzuva afatima. Madra hasher, where there's no particular mitzvah to help keep it alive, there's a mitzvah v'cheyachicha ima. You should help a fellow yid if he's poor or whatever. Help now in whatever way, sure. Okay, yes, tzav al chayim. But other than that, there's no particular mitzvah to help keep him alive. So, and yet, after mitzvah al chafim asif, the Torah asks you to muzzle the animal. Adam shatam mitzvah al chafim asif, and then shatam mitzvah al chafim asif. So a person, we have a mitzvah of chayach yishayimach, to give him tzedakah or whatever, how much more so you should have an issur to muzzle him. No, that's what we have the kenafshecha. We said before, kenafshecha poil, manafshe im chasamte poter, just like if you muzzle yourself in word or in action, then you are yourself a potter. The same thing with the word. So we know we can't use that kavachomer to say that you should be chayiv on muzzling a person. But if you do, you're not chayiv malchus, for instance. So therefore, we're back to we've slugged up our kavachomer. You wanted to say a kavachomer from a shur to a person, but a shur you have a mitzvah chasima, a person we just established you don't. So therefore, maybe a shur has a mitzvah chasima. Therefore you have the extra thing by him that he can eat the tosh. Not necessarily by a person would that necessarily be correct?
To
muzzle it. A shur you have an issur. If you muzzle the animal, you're going to be chayav malchus. A person you're not. So maybe the Torah is machmer on you by a shur, therefore maybe the Torah is also machmer on you that even though the shur is working on something tolerant, he should still be allowed to eat. How could you prove from that to a person?
So if your ox is in the field and he walks over to eat from the stuff that's brought, you have to pull it away?
If he's working, that's the point. We're talking about, again, when the ox is working, when the animal is working.
But their nature is just to walk over and eat while do they want. When they're just hanging out there,
they'll... Fine, but if they're just hanging out there, you can prevent them, sure. But we're talking about when they're working, yeah. when they're working, you have to allow them to eat from some of the meat that they're working on. Yeah. Okay. The Ella Adam Batolish Manolan, Tataka, where do we know that a person can eat from Tolish? The answer is, Omakra kama beis palmin. The Torah twice in these psukim mentions the word kama. In the pasuk, in the second pasuk over there, where it talks about the grain, it says kisavah the kama sreyacha, and the pasuk finishes off the chemesh leisonef or kama sreyacha. So twice it uses the word kama, which means standing grain. And he said one of them we used for the limud before that kol that kol balei kama, anything that stands upright, any plants that stand upright from the ground are included in this mitzvah. What's the second one for? Since we don't need the second time kama to teach us that you're allowed to eat from it while it's attached to the ground, and you're in the process of detaching it, because that we already know from earlier in the pasuk. Therefore, tneu inyan, we use that word kama instead to teach us that you're also allowed to eat from it when it's tosh. It's a common kind of limud that we take an extra word in the pasuk and use it to teach us a related din.
That's because kama was
we said kisava the kama sreya.
And then there's another problem.
And then there's further on in that same pasuk. No, the Zerah Shavah we said forget about. But in the same pasuk itself, it's a twice comma.
Oh.
So one of them we're going to use to teach us that you're allowed to eat betolosh. Rabami Adam betolosh leitzarech kruah. Rabami says you don't even need that. You don't need an explicit pasuk to teach us that if you're working, that a worker is allowed to eat betolosh. Because the pasuk starts off, kisavah the kerem re'echa, you come into your neighbor's vineyard. Now, you're assuming all this time that means you're actually harvesting the grapes. Says who? Milo yaskinesh sakhar l'kativ. L'chorda, couldn't the pasuk just as well be talking about where you were hired to carry the grapes? So you have some people are harvesting the grapes. They're putting them into boxes or baskets or whatever. You're carrying them. You're just schlepping them. You're working on something which is tolush. And yet the pasuk says you can eat. Automatically from that, you don't need kama or anything like that. You automatically know from that this person is going to be allowed to eat. Okay. Next. Shur b'mechubah manola. Fine. How about the other way around? How do we know that a shur is going to be allowed to eat from mechubah if it's working on something mechubah? So, again, let's try to make a kavah chomer from a person. We just established now based on either the second comma or on the logic, that a person is able to eat the tolosh or the mechover. Again, the assumption the assumption for purposes of this Gzeira Shava is that a person cannot eat the Talmud. We just established that he can. But let's say we don't know of that Kavachomer or that Limud or whatever. No, not Kavachomer. Let's say we don't know of that Limud or whatever. The Pasuk itself doesn't explicitly say a person can eat from Talmud, but the Pasuk specifies that a person can eat from a Chover. So sure, So a shur which is allowed to eat from Talmud, because it says, like, Sassan shur v'dishoy, how much more so should be able to eat from a Chover? Problem with that is, again, So what about though a person has a special chumra that you have a mitzvah lach yosei as opposed to a shur? She has a mitzvah lach yosei. So let's test that assumption itself. Let's say there is a mitzvah to be machaya a shur from a kavachomer. Umma adam she yatam mitzvah lach yosei. Ma bechan adam where there's no mitzvah but muzzling him, but you have a mitzvah to help keep him alive. So you would think then, by that kavachomer, you should say that you're mechuyev to mechaya shur. Now, obviously, not in all cases. You're allowed to shecht animals, but when it's not a case like that, maybe Taka, you would always have a mitzvah to help keep an animal alive, a must case where you can be shechting it or whatever. No, because we have a pasuk that says. Because the pasuk says your brother should live with you, implying not a shur. You don't have any particular mitzvah to help keep a shur alive, again, aside from tav alakai. So we slugged up that kavachomer. Ve'al shur b'mechuber menolan. So taka, where do we know that a shur is allowed to eat b'mechuber? Amakra re'echa re'echa beis pam. Again, because you have an extra word in the pasuk. The pasuk says kisavu b'kerem re'echa. The same way as we have twice where it says comma, the same way it says twice re'echa. So again, in eina inyan la'adam b'mechuber, tnei inyan la'shur b'mechuber. Since one of them does not have to be referring to a person, because we know that already, so the other one must be teaching us that you have to allow a shur to eat b'mechuber. And again, Ravina Omar la'adam b'tolosh la'shur b'mechuber tzrichi kroi. You actually don't need psukim to teach us either of these dinim. This that a person is allowed to eat from tolosh, or shur is allowed to eat from mechuber, both of those you can learn based on a different limud, without needing a ribui from these psukim. Not so much a svara, but it's like this. Now, the pasuk tells us, you're not allowed to muzzle an ox while it's threshing. Now let's consider. The fact of the matter is, the din does not only apply to oxen. It applies to any kind of animal, except it doesn't apply to people, as we said, but it applies to any kind of animal. For example, later on we're gonna talk about we're gonna have a mandalmar that says that with an animal you only have this mitzvah if the animal is doing work with its hands and feet. So if, let's say, for example, you have a chicken threshing for you where it's only doing it with its feet, according to that mandalmar, you don't have a lav of chsim. That's not the halacha. But the fact of the matter is, you could have other kinds of creatures doing work for you other than oxen, and the same din applies. The affinit shur shur mishabbos. And how do we know that? Because we learn by binyan av rather from the shur that it says by Shabbos. By Shabbos, as we learned in Baba Kama, it says v'sasa kamalacha v'hemtecha, and it mentions over there v'shurcha v'chamorcha. It says in the second dibrit. So we learn over there that therefore v'hemtecha means any kind of animal. It mentions shur as an example, but it means any other kind. And we learn from that. Everywhere else, when the Torah says a din that applies to a shur, it applies to all animals.
It's a general name.
If that's the case, then the Torah could, in our pasuk of Leisachim Shur V'Dishay, didn't have to mention a shur at all. It could have just said, don't do threshing with chasima, with a muzzle, when there's muzzling involved.
You know it's all around.
Yeah. Shur de kotzer rachmon olamali. So why does the Torah specify shur? La akushi choisim la nechsem and nechsem la choisim. Obviously, the Torah must be trying to tell us a hekesh between the choisim, the one who puts the muzzle on, and the nechsem, the one which has the muzzle put on it, the animal. namely, Machosim Oichab Machobar Afnasam Oichab Machobar, just as the Chosim, the person, if he were a worker in somebody else's field, would be allowed to eat the Machobar, because Kisav of the Kerimer Echa and Kisav of the Kamas Recha. Afnasam Oichab Machobar, the same thing, the animal, the shur, Loisach Soim Shur, in other words, the point is, there's a hekesh between you, the Tachsa, and the you who could be putting the muzzle on the animal, and the Torah is asking you, and the shur, which is having the muzzle put on it. So just as you, just as you who would be doing tachsim are allowed to eat in somebody else's field when you're working there, from the mechover, so also the shur. Oman nechsam oichav b'talush, and just as when it comes to the nechsam, the animal which has the muzzle put on it, is able to eat b'talush because the sachim should be dishay, daish is something that b'talush. Achoisim oichav b'talush, the same thing. The choisim, the person who's putting the muzzle on, is also able to eat b'talush. So we know from that. So we don't need any other limud to teach us that concept. Turn it up on him. Today by rights, I should mention, today by rights should be that topic. So yeah. We'll learn. It's still a few minutes to the hour. We'll see. Turn it up on a Daish. Now, the Pasuk says, let's have some show b'dishoy. And why does it have to specify Daish? Again, it applies to any other kind of work that the animal is doing. So, ma Daish miyuchav dovash gedulei karka, or v'shask ma malacha v'poyol v'poy, just as threshing is something which it grows from the ground, and it's a time of gemar malacha, and therefore, the worker, in this case, the animal worker, is able to eat from it. The same thing, only something that grows from the ground is something that the worker is allowed to eat from on the job, whether a human worker or an animal worker. Therefore, therefore, it comes to exclude, for example, milking or mechabit is making a Rashi says, mine charitze cholav, a type of cheese. And in modern Hebrew, mechabit means making butter, churning milk into butter. According to Rashi, it could be that mechabit is like putting in the rennet or whatever to start turning it into cheese, and megabit would be forming it into the actual shape cheese.
Wonderful.
Whatever. All those things, shame you do like haka, they don't grow from the ground. They ain't part of and a worker can't eat from them. Okay. Question is, normally, why do we need a limud from Daish for that? Because Mikisav of the Kerem Re'echa nafka. We should be able to learn that from the passage that says Kisav of the Kerem Re'echa, where we said at the beginning of the Gemara, that a kerem is something that grows from the ground. That vines are something that grow from the ground, and therefore it means only that. The answer is itzrach. We still need the limud from Daish. Sakra et hamina, because otherwise we would think, ho because of kama. After all, we had in the end, we didn't learn from kisav v'kerem, we learned from kama. Lurabas kobale kama, that it comes to include anything that stands upright from the ground. Lurabas nami mi dizlav gedulei karka. Therefore, you would think maybe it can include even things that are not gedulei karka. Kamash malam, that is the chiddush that we learned from Daish. Which Tosus points out, for some purposes in halacha, animals are considered gedulei karka in the sense that they eat grass which grows from the ground. For example, you're allowed to buy animals with ma'aser sheni money in Yerushalayim. You're allowed to buy animals for a korban. But over here, we're saying that it has to be something that actually grows from the ground. And animals, even though they feed on things that grow from the ground, they themselves don't. Then we learn another braisa, Daish. Ma Daish miyuchad dovash b'shas gmar malacha poyol l'chaboy. Just as Daish is something which is gmar malacha, where you're finishing up the work on this grain by threshing it, and poyol l'chaboy, af kosho b'shas gmar malacha poyol l'chaboy. Yotza ha-menakesh b'shum r'tzolim, as opposed to, for example, somebody is reading garlic or onions, since it's not the time of gmar malacha, because you're not picking the actual, at this point Rashi says that we assume that we're talking about, normally menakesh means reading, but we're gonna see in a minute, does it mean actually pulling out weeds, or does it mean even picking some of the actual olives themselves? Not olives, onions themselves. But it's not gmar malacha for the ones that you're not picking. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat from them. So the question is, lomali, what do you need that limud? Miva el kelya chalaisitin napka. L'chori, you can learn that from the words of el kelya chalaisitin, only when you're putting it into the balabasas kelim. At this point, you're picking weeds. You're not picking olives or garlic at all. Why should you think you should be allowed to eat from the olive, from the onions or the garlic? The answer is, loitzricha afakab kamash l'ktani mi mibeni alimi. The chiddush is over here, even, for example, let's say the menakesh is not you picking weeds. Let's say you're picking the small ones from among the large ones. So Rashi describes when you grow onions, so you're going to have some of them that tend to stay small. They never become large. Rashi uses the word chives for them. You can find them in some recipes. You have chives, which are basically not fully developed onions.
The green.
Yeah. Now, so what happens then? You don't want them to grow there because you want to make room for the other ones to grow larger. You're going to pick them out. L'chora, you're picking them out. You are putting them into the balabas of Kalim. What's the problem? Therefore, we need the limud from Daesh to say that no, because the main thing you're trying to accomplish over here is to improve things for the bigger ones. You're not doing it primarily for you are picking the smaller ones and you bring them to the balabas and he's going to use them in his recipes or whatever. But that's not the primary thing. That's not the primary purpose that you're doing it for and that you're picking them for, and therefore you can't eat from them. Tanya, then we learn yet another braisa, so another thing that we're going to learn from Daesh. Ma Daesh miyucha davar shlenigma malachta lemaise poyler chaboy. That Daesh is something where even though it's gmar malacha in the sense that you're finishing a major part of the work, but it's not yet chayev in maaser at that point, because again it's only going to become chayev in maaser in the case of grain once you make a stack out of it, once you make a stack and smooth out the sides of the stack, which is going to be after the disha and after the zriya, whatever. The same thing, it has to be something which was not nigma malachta l'maaser, only that kind of work read from. Yotza boido v'tzmara m'grogers, as opposed to, for example, you have dates or dried figs that are stuck to each other, and you've been hired to break them apart, to pull them apart. It's already after gemar malacha. They were already chayev l'maaser. And therefore, in poyelochaboy. So, hove nigma malachta l'maaser, in poyelochaboy. Therefore, a worker can't eat from that. Okay, the question is, v'altanya abodu b'tvarim u'grogas poyelochaboy. We have a different braisa that says that if you're separating stuck together figs or dates, you are allowed to eat from it. Amar papa kitanya hi b'techalm. Yes, but that second braisa is talking about techalm. Rashi says techalm are a type of date which they don't ripen on the tree. There's certain fruits like that. They won't ripen while they're still on the tree. Bananas are another example like that. They don't pick bananas after they're ripe already. They go bad on the tree. Instead, they pick them when they're green, and they ripen them on the way to the stores or whatever. So here you have a certain kind of date that are the same kind of thing. What you do is, it actually describes, you put them into containers made out of lulav leaves, out of palm leaves. They ripen in there. So if, let's say, while they're still inside these containers, they're starting to get stuck together, and therefore you hire somebody to separate them and then put them back, and then I guess put them back into the containers, that's not gemar malacha yet. Gemar malacha would only be when they're ripe. They're not ripe yet. Therefore, that's the case with boidu b'tzmarim of a gregor, where poyel would be able to eat from it, but not in a normal case where they become ripe on the tree and you harvested a bunch of them and put them in your storage area or whatever, and now they're starting to stick together and you hire somebody to break them apart, that not, because that's already after grandma.
Good example would be Esther. You give all kinds of tricks. They put stuff in front to make it, inventory.
Right, so you put an apple with them or whatever to ripen them. Yes, this is a similar
kind. If you're picking Esther and you're allowed to eat every so often, you'd lose a lot of money.
So, nobody in their right mind would want to eat an Esther.
First three years of the camp.
You know, when you get down to it, you know, you have the Gemara and Sukkah that tells us that an Esther, the wood tastes the same as the fruit. It makes sense, I think, you know, because the wood of the Esther tree is not edible, and really neither is the Esther itself.
It's not so great. It makes good if you slice it and put it in a glass of water.
Like tea.
All right, let's learn a little more. One more of these limudim from Daesh, and then we'll call it a day. Okay. So Tanya Idahu. Yeah, we learn in yet another braisa. Daesh, ma Daesh miyucha davar shlenigma malacha l'chala. That Daesh is something where the malacha has not yet been completed as far as chala and poyel l'chabay, and therefore we're saying the worker is able to eat from it. Ask called davar shlenigma malacha l'chala poyel l'chabay. The same thing. Any other thing. Has to be, if it's something which is going to be chayiv and chala, then a worker is allowed to eat from it up till the point when it becomes chayiv and chala.
This is, we have yet to the madav. Remember, what held it if you're just gathering together, you're already chayiv?
Okay, so before, so I was mentioning before, so the Rambam and the Ravid disagree on that point. The Ravid actually wants to say that this whole thing that we're talking about challah over here is not, in the end, the Gemara is going to mention over here that's really two things together, l'maisa or l'challah. The Ravid is going to understand that l'maskana, we don't really say challah as a separate thing. Once it becomes chayiv and maiser, that's it. Chayiv and maiser, at that point the worker cannot eat from it anymore. And he doesn't have the heter min haTorah to eat from it anymore. You want to make deals with him that he's going to be allowed to eat. You're going to have to take off Meiser and then give it to him, but it's not the mitzvah min haTorah anymore. Pisav of a kerem reyecha. The Rambam and most other Rishonim say that no, they take what the Gemara says at face value that you have. Ordinarily, the deadline is when it becomes chayiv and Meiser. However, if it's going to be something which is going to be chayiv and chala, then you have till a later point. Then you have till it's actually chayiv and chala.
What about going about gathering together, making it, make even piles?
So that's the thing. According to Rambam, it would be you made it into a pile, very nice, but you're still planning to grind it into flour and make it into bread, and therefore the worker is still allowed to eat from it at that point. And that's Tosfos. On Amud Beis makes that explicit distinction. That depends whether you're going to be using the grain for toasting versus for grinding. Okay. So. As opposed to, therefore, if somebody is kneading the dough, where as soon as you put the flour, as soon as you put the water into the flour, it becomes chayiv and challah. So if you hire a person to knead dough for you, makatif, or if somebody is basting the dough, basting is like, for example, when you make challah and you smear it with eggs, that's makatif. Va'oifer, or baking. At that point, it's already been finished as far as challah. The worker does not have the right to eat on the job from that already. Okay. Question is, so the chora already, if the gmar malacha has been done as far as maaser, why should the worker be able to eat from it anyway? The chora, for example, Rashi says, let's say, for example, you hire somebody to sift the flour, for example. It's already after Gmar Malacha L'Maaser. Yes, it's before Gmar Malacha L'Challah because you didn't put the flour and the water together. So, based on what we said before, once it's Gmar Malacha L'Maaser, he's also to eat from it. What are you telling me now that he's allowed to? The answer is, L'Kasha B'Chutlar, it's a skin, and D'Lek A'Maaser. Fine, but we could be talking about in Chutlar. There is no Chiyuv of Maaser in Chutlar. Therefore, we wait till it's Chayiv and Challah. Question is, Yochi Challah Nami Lekka. Fine, by that logic, there's no chiyuv of challah. Minatorah, there's no chiyuv of Meiser or challah outside. We have, in countries close to Eretz Yisrael, that Rabbanan made a chiyuv of Meiser. And then in Syria, and in Babel, whatever. And all over the world, we have a chiyuv of Rabbanan of challah. But
why didn't they do Meiser?
I don't remember. I don't remember, actually. I mean, we're going to see in a second, there was a distinction anyway, even from the beginning, that there were chayiv and challah before sheva shekavshu, sheva lecholku, whereas maaser only afterwards, so maybe that factors into it, but I'm not sure. Anyway. Ela la'olam ba'aret. No, let's say we're talking about in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say, though, for example, that this limud from Daesh is teaching us what happened during the 14 years when they were conquering and dividing Eretz Yisrael. During those 14 years, they were already chayiv and challah, because challah, the Torah uses the unique expression, b'voyachem ala aret. Usually the expression in the Torah is, kisavoyu ala aret. And by Bikurim, the Torah specifically says, yirishtav yashatva, that you conquer it, and you settle in it, meaning after shevashakopshav shevashakopu, only then are you chayiv and Bikurim. And we use that as binyan av for every other place where it says kisavoyu, that it means after that. But challah doesn't say kisavoyu, it says b'voyachem. So it's a different kind of thing. As soon as you cross the border into Eretz Yisrael, as soon as you cross the Yarden, you're already chayiv and challah. So during those 14 years, the chayiv and challah, not in Meiser. Therefore, we could say during that period, if you were to be doing a harvest, or you were to, for example, hire somebody, for example, to make bread for you, they would be able to eat from the flour, but they wouldn't be able to eat from it once it's mixed with the water. Okay. Problem is with that, meeting Meiser kagodim, gmar malacha kagodim. It's not the actual whether you're taking Meiser or not. Meiser is just a simon for the point when the workers are not allowed to eat from it anymore. It's not, nothing to do with whether it's actually physically chayiv and Meiser or not. Ela Amar Ravina Kroich Vatani. So Ravina says, you're right. You have to combine together these two braises from before, the one that mentioned Meiser and the one that mentioned Chala. Daish, ma daish miyuch davash l'nigma malakta l'maiz ula Chala, upoyo lo chaboy. So So again, according to Raivid, the word chalav here, the lamaskana, we're not really using chala as a separate thing. According to him, lamaskana, it would be once it's chayv and mice, so that's it. None of this business about, for example, that you'd be able to eat from a flower. Whereas according to the Rambam and then Tosfos and everybody else, it would mean that you are. If something which is only going to be chayv and meiser and nothing else afterwards, you have to stop once it's chayv and meiser. Something which is later on going to have a chiyu chala, you're allowed to eat from it till it's chayv and chala.
So flour that you plan to make bread from?
Then the workers would still be able to eat. If you hire workers to deal with that flour, for example, to sift it or carry it from one place to another, then they'd be allowed to eat from it, right?
But when they be allowed?
So according to that, according to the Rambam and then everybody else, then once you put water into that flour,
yeah,
then already it's chayv and chala. That's
everyone,
it.
Point everyone.
Point everybody. Yeah. Yeah.
And according to this mandamur, we just said when would it be actually flour and they wouldn't be allowed to eat from it.
So according to the Raizid, that's it. There's never a time when you'd be allowed to eat from flour.
Once it's
been stacked up and the pile has been smoothed out, that's mamalach of a mice. It's been threshed already. No, the point when it's made into a pile and smoothed out is after the threshing and after the winnowing.
When you have seeds.
All you have is clean grain, right? Then you stack it up. That's the point when it's chayv and meiser. That's the point when it's chayv and meiser. According to the Raivid, that's it. You never have a heter to eat from it after again on the job. According to the point.
When you work here, you don't actually go quick.
Yeah.
Did they really get it that clean back then?
The next malach after that is boder. After you did the threshing and the winnowing, fine. You've gotten rid of all the shells and straw and all the light stuff. There can still be rocks and pebbles and dirt and whatever mixed into it. Therefore, the next malach is boder. You have to pick that out. After you're done with all of that, then you have clean grain without any rocks, without any anything in it. 100% clean, probably not with the technology they had in those days, but basically. And then at that point, you take it and grind it, and that's the next malach after that.
So
we're up to you.
By the way, we're going to learn tonight.